letter from the leader of all this excitement. And so it's my privilege this morning to introduce Leora. She is our Director of Children's Ministries here at CRBC. And we are extremely privileged to have her here. And so give her a hand. Yes. And she's going to share with us this morning. And I'm looking forward to hearing about it.
So last week I told the kids that my dream has always been to invite all the adults so you get to come and see what Christ Kids is all about back there. So I told the kids that we're going to invite all the adults to join us for Christ Kids. And they came up with a really elaborate plan where they would layer the adults on the bottom, at least two layers of adults, and then they would put the kids on the top sitting on their heads, because if you've seen our Christ Kids rooms, they're not quite big enough for all of us to fit in. So if you'd come with me, just kidding, I'm going to get the kids to come up to the front, and you guys get to, as adults, listen in to what it would be like if you were getting to join us in Christ Kids today. So kids, can I get you to come up here and sit with me? I feel so much better when you're up here with me. You can come to sit on the floor, maybe I'll right here. I'm going to sit on the stairs because apparently people can't see me in the back. Hopefully you can hear me just fine. Well, why don't you sit there and then face me instead of facing the adults, because I'm going to be the one telling the story. So come on up, everybody.
It's a very tiny microphone.
It is a very tiny microphone, isn't it? All right, so last week at Island Adventure Camp, we learned all about God's love. And I'm going to get you to help me here with the different things that we learned. We learned that God's love is incredible. And then we learned that God's love is
faithful.
And then we learned that God's love is invincible. And then we learned that God's love is unconditional and real. So today for our story, I wanted to talk and remind us about what we learned this week for all of the stories that we went through, but I also wanted to talk even more about how we can see that love at work. Love, especially God's love, is so important. It's so important for every single person. Our world is broken. There's lots of pain, there's lots of hurt, there's lots of things that are hard in our world, and without God's love, it will stay broken. And so we need God's love. Everybody needs God's love. Now, I was wondering if somebody could help me with something. Levi, can you take the back of this? Do you think you could? And can you see how far back you can go? We're going to measure from here. We're going to see if we can be careful for people's heads. Maybe I'll move ahead here. Keep going, Levi. We're going to go see to the back of the pews. I don't know if this tape measure is big enough. Oh, I guess that's the end. It's a very short tape measure. So we went three pews. How many pews can you walk over there? It's about 12 feet from Levi to me. We can measure that. That's pretty great. All right, without letting it go, because it's stuck now. I apparently don't practice using these. That's what my husband does. There we go. All right. We can measure with tape measures how far things are from us, can't we? We can use tape measures. We can use rulers. What are some other things that we can use to measure things? What's something else? You can use cubic feet. Yep, for sure. What's something else? Just use your feet. Like, say from here to you, I can go one, two, it's two of my feet to get to you. For sure. What's another way we can measure things, Tabitha?
Rulers.
Rulers, yeah. What about if you're baking? What could you use then? What could you use? Yeah. Measuring cups. Yeah, we can use measuring cups. What's another way, Natalie? With a rope. You know, I was thinking that too. The other day I saw somebody using a rope. They could say like this far, and then they brought the rope somewhere else and they measured it that way. A very inventive way to measure. That's right. So those are things that we can measure. What about feelings? Can we measure feelings or emotions? Kind of. Kind of a little bit. We can talk a little bit about them, but it's a little bit hard to measure them. But we can know what they look like, can't we? We can know what those look like. So today I wanted to talk about God's love and what it looks like. So God's love is incredible. Incredible means that it's really difficult to believe or extraordinary. And we learn how God, in our story, we learn how God spoke to a man named Moses, who was a very unlikely hero, an unlikely someone that God was going to use to save the nation of Israel. God got Moses' attention with a burning bush, and he spoke to him, and he gave him a very hard mission. Some would think that maybe it was an impossible mission, because the nation of Israel had been slaves for 400 years, and they had been asking God for him to let them free. And the nation had held them captive, and Israel had been asking God, and God heard their cry. And he decided to display his incredible love with these incredible things that he did, these 10 plagues that showed that he is a God that can do hard things that no one can do, no one else can do. His love for his people was strong and extraordinary. But you know what? God's love didn't stop. His extraordinary love didn't stop with that display to Moses and the Israelites. We can find his love many places in the Bible. But probably one of the best places that we can see God's love displayed incredibly is with a baby that was born in a barn. Anybody have any idea what story I'm thinking of? What story, Bosco? Baby Jesus, that's right. Many of you have heard this story before. But before we get to Jesus, we need to talk a little bit about why Jesus had to come. So the backstory to that is that in the beginning, we find it in the Bible, in the very first book, we find that God spoke and he created the whole world and everything in it. He created the animals and the bugs and the trees and the birds and everything that was created in the earth, God created it. And as the last thing, his big finale, the best thing that he saved for last, God created people. And he created them perfect in his image. And he made them with the ability to choose. They could choose God's way, or they could choose their own way. There was a consequence to choosing their own way, though. Does anybody remember what that consequence was? What was their consequence, Ellie? Death, right? Death would come into the world and sin would take over and the world would start to decay and die. So Adam and Eve were living in this beautiful garden, and God had made how many rules? How many rules had he made?
One.
And his rule was that you can only eat from one tree, and you can only eat all of the trees, but not the one tree that was in the middle of the garden. You can't eat from that tree. That was it. They had thousands of other trees to eat from. But what do you think Adam and Eve did? They ate the fruit from the tree that God said not to. They disobeyed God. And as soon as they disobeyed God, something sad and terrible happened. That day, sin came into the world. And the relationship between people and God that used to be perfect was now broken. And it was broken in such a way that we couldn't fix it ourselves. We can't fix the relationship that happens between God and us. We need Jesus to fix that relationship. But Adam and Eve did this, and God told them way back here in the book of Genesis, I have a plan. I have a plan, and I will send a Savior. But this is Genesis at the front, and this is where we find out about Jesus. All of the pages in between is history and things that happened. They had to wait a long time. The angel, many, many years later, an angel came to speak to a lady named Mary. And Mary was a young lady, and she was living in the town of Bethlehem, and she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. And an angel came to her and said, you are going to have a baby. And Mary was very confused. She didn't know how this could be. She didn't know how that was possible. She said, I've never been married, and I've never been in a situation where there could be a baby in me. How can this be? The angel explained that God's love is incredible. It's difficult to believe, and it's extraordinary. And God can do hard things that no one else can do. Mary believed God, that God could do hard things that no one else can do. Her fiancé, Joseph, was also visited by the angel, and he was told the same story, and he decided to believe God. And so not long after that, Mary had a baby that was growing in her body, and she gave birth to the Son of God. And his name was?
Jesus.
That's right. God displayed his incredible love through sending Jesus. Next, we learned that God's love is
faithful.
That's right. He will always do what he says he will do. We learned this through the story of Rahab. Rahab was a lady that was living in Jericho, and they were in the land that God had promised Israel. And Israel was coming in, and they were going to take over. But first, they had to get through this really big, tall wall. They had to get through that to get into that land of Jericho. And they had to have a plan. So they sent in some spies to find out what kind of wall they were dealing with, an army they were dealing with. So they sent the spies in. And does anybody remember what Rahab did with the spies? She hid them, didn't she? She hid those spies inside of her house when the soldiers came to look for them. She did what she said she would do. She said that she wouldn't tell anybody about the spies, and that when the time came, she would hang what from her window? What would she hide?
A red rope.
You're right. She would hang a red rope from her window to show others her action was that she believed God and that he would do what he would say, that he said. God's faithfulness doesn't stop at that story. God's faithfulness is everywhere you look in the Bible. He will always do what he says he will do. God said that he would send a Savior. And even though it took longer than they expected, they didn't know when the Savior was going to come, God did what he said he would do. And you know what's really amazing about this story? Rahab is one of Jesus' great, 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 well, many greats, grandmothers. Isn't that cool? How she was faithful, and then God used her in the big story, bringing Jesus to earth. I think that's a really incredible thing, that God is so faithful, and he will do what he says. That's really important for us today, that we remember that God is faithful, and that his love is faithful, because we can count on God. When he says, I will never leave you, he means it. He will never leave you. He is faithful. When he says, I am always with you, he means it. When he says, your sins have been forgiven, and you can spend eternity with me in heaven, he means it. God's love is faithful. So next we learned that God's love is invincible. That's right, and we learned that through the story of David and Goliath. Now, David was just a boy. He wasn't a warrior or anything big, or he was a shepherd boy, and he was out tending the flocks, and he got sent to go see how his brothers were doing. And when he got to his brothers, he realized that there was a really tall giant being a bully to the Israelites. And he was coming out every day, and this giant named Goliath was making fun of the Israelites, and he was saying, why don't you send one person to come and fight me? And all of Israel looked at themselves, and they thought, I'm not big enough. I'm not strong enough. I can't do this. I can't be what that needs to be. I'm not invincible. And so they would go inside their tents, and they would hide. But David, he had a different perspective. His heart knew something, and he acted like it. He knew that God's love was invincible. And he knew that God had said that he would be with Israel, and he would fight with Israel. David knew that God's love was invincible. David knew that he wasn't strong enough. He was just a boy. This giant was tall, and he was wearing armor from head to toe. He was so strong. David was just little, and he didn't have any armor. But he knew that God was with him. So he went with a stone and a sling, and he sent it flying. And because David remembered that God's love is invincible, he was able to defeat Goliath. God's invincible love doesn't stop there. There's something in my life that I need God's love for. There's something in my life that I can't defeat on my own. Something in my love that I can't overcome. In my life, and in each one of your lives, there's something called sin, the thing that breaks the relationship between God and us. And we need God's invincible love to help to bridge that gap between what separates us from God. We can't fight off sin and death with our own good works. Just like the Israelites, they thought they had to look at themselves to be strong enough, and they weren't. We're the same with our sin. We're not strong enough. We're not good enough. We can't give enough to fix the sin problem between God and us. We need Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to win against sin, is this invincible love. Jesus is the best display of God's invincible love. Jesus is God's invincible love. Jesus overcame. He beat sin and death forever. That's something that we can't do on our own. That's something we need Jesus for, and Jesus has done that for us. Well, it's all good because we've got incredible love. We've got God's love is faithful. We've got God's love is invincible. But I wonder who deserves or could get this love. Wait a minute. We learned something else. We learned that God's love is... Oh, it sounds like you're almost sleeping. Let's do that again. God's love is unconditional. That's right. God's love is unconditional. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we won't be able to do to get God to love us more or less. He loves us 100% already. There's nothing else that we can do to make God love us more. He loves us. He's not disappointed in us. He loves us. And we know that God's love is amazing. We know that his love is unconditional. And we learn that through the story of a lady who came to Jesus. Jesus was eating at a friend's house, and they were all eating dinner, and they had come in off the street, and his feet were a little bit dirty, as they are in the middle of a desert, walking around all day in sandals. And he came in, and you guys remember, were they sitting in proper chairs, or how did they sit? Mara says they slouched kind of over with her elbow, so your stinky feet might be in somebody else's face while you're eating dinner. That's not so nice, is it? They were having dinner, and as they were having a dinner, this lady comes in, and everybody knew who she was. Everybody knew her reputation. Everybody knew that she had been classified as a sinner, which just means that everybody knew what her sin was. The thing is, everybody else in that room was a sinner too. They were just really good at hiding it. So she ran into the house, and she fell at Jesus' feet. She stopped, and she started to cry. And she wasn't just crying little tears. She was crying big tears. Tears so much that her feet, the water from her eyes went onto Jesus' feet, and it started to make the dirt on his feet go away. And then she pulled out an alabaster jar, and out of that she poured the most expensive thing that she had. And she poured that on Jesus' feet, and she took her hair, and she started to wipe up Jesus' feet, and she's still crying. She's crying because she knew that she had been forgiven. She was crying because she knew she didn't deserve to be forgiven. She was crying because she knew that she didn't deserve this kind of love, but she knew that she was loved all the way by Jesus. She was crying because she was happy. She was crying because she was thankful. Sometimes we don't cry enough about those things. We need to be honest with how we feel about God's love. God's love is unconditional. He loves us 100%. No matter what. You got it, dude. That's right. Jesus had lived a perfect life. He never sinned one time. And sin is the only reason that there is death. Sin is the only reason there is death. And so Jesus didn't need to die. But Jesus' love for you was so big, so strong, and so wide that no matter what you've done before, what you've done today, and even what you'll do tomorrow, God sent Jesus to die for you. In the last hours of Jesus' life, he was taken into court, and they brought him in there, and they tried to think of as many things as they could to try to make it look like so Jesus was bad. But Jesus had never done anything bad. They kind of finally found something they thought was good enough. They said that he was lying about being the Son of God, but it was true. And they took him and they brought him outside of the city and they killed him there. God could have said, no, don't kill Jesus, and they wouldn't. But Jesus died for us in our sins. He died in our place. And while he was up there dying, all of his friends had left, but he still loved them. The people that were killing him, he still loved them. The people who were hurting him, he still loved them. And he still died for them. There were people making fun of him, and he still died for them too. God's love is unconditional. He forgave and loved the people that killed him. He forgave and loved the people that turned away from him when he needed them most. Sin is what blocks our relationship with God. Sin means we can't have a relationship with God. His love makes it so that we can have a relationship with God, even if that meant costing him everything. And it did cost him everything. That's how much God loves you. If he had everything, he could take it all and he would put it away just so that he could have a relationship with you. The last thing that we learned about is that God's love is real. Okay, wake up, guys. God's love is
real.
There we are. God's love is real, and God's love changes everything. We can either believe that it's real or that it's fake, that it's not true. There's not a middle one on this one. God's love is real, and it changes us. It should change us. If we believe all of those things, that God's love is incredible, it's faithful, it's invincible, it's unconditional, it has to change us. It has to make us act differently and choose different things. It's going to make us different. We're going to see the world differently. We're going to see people differently. The story that we looked at in here was the story of Peter. And he was in, does anybody remember where was he? Where was Peter?
Prison.
He was in prison. He was in jail. That's right. He was in jail because he was telling other people about Jesus. And the whole church had gathered together because they needed Peter to be their leader. And they really were sad that he was in jail. So they gathered together and they started to pray, asking God that God would help them get Peter out of jail. And God did something amazing in this situation. God sent an angel to wake Peter up and to get him to go out of prison. Peter thought he was dreaming. So when the angel came, he took the shackles off and he started walking. And so Peter started following the angel out. And then he got outside and he realized, wait a minute, I thought I was dreaming. No, this is just what God does. He does amazing, hard things that no one else can do. And so out he goes and he goes to the place where the whole church had been gathering. And he knocks at the door. And a servant girl comes to the door and opens the door and says, it must be Peter's ghost. It looks like Peter, but it can't be Peter. Peter's in jail. It must be his lookalike or something. She closes the door and runs back in. She's like, I think Peter's at the door. And they're like, Peter's in jail. I don't understand what you mean. How could Peter be at the door? So they go back out and they look and it is Peter. He was there. God had brought him out of jail and into the home of the people that were praying. And they praised God and they rejoiced because God's love is real. It's going to do something. It's going to change us. You know what? We get to be a part of this amazing love. We get to show others that God's love is real. We can do that with the words that we say and the prayers we pray, and the actions that we do. The church started to pray, and in that situation, God sent an angel. Paul needed supplies while he was out telling other people about Jesus, and so a church sent him supplies. There was another place where we learned about this story. The spies needed somewhere to hide, and Rahab hid them. There was hungry people that needed food, and the people from the church, they fed them. God's love is real, and it changes everything. So one last time, God's love is incredible. God's love is faithful. God's love is invincible. And God's love is unconditional and real. That's right. We can know this is true because God's word tells us this. 1 John 4, 9-10 says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to sacrifice to take away our sins. We didn't love God first. God loved us first. That's what love looks like. And one thing I wanted to talk about is one amazing thing about Island Adventure Camp this week that I got to see was that I saw God's real love in action in so many ways. And I just want to take a minute to thank all of the volunteers, all of the people that prayed and brought in food and all of the things that showed me and each child that's here and the ones that aren't here that God's love is real. Because that's what God's love looks like. It's responding to what he's called you to. Keep living that way. Thank you so much. And I'm going to just close our time here in prayer. And then we have a few more songs to sing. God, I thank you so much for your love. God, I thank you that it changes us. Father, I just I pray for each boy and girl that's here and each adult. You know where their heart is. They know how they need to see that expression of your love today. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to see you at work around us and that you would prompt us to join you in what you're doing. God, I thank you for this week. I thank you for the reminder it's been to my heart and my soul about what your love is like, God. I pray that you would continue this in me and in each person that heard this, that these seeds that are planted would grow. And that each person here would live their life knowing in response to your love. I pray these things in your name. Amen.